This last week, Roy and I went to the Baptist General Convention of Texas in Frisco, Texas. And I have a little bit of a confession to make before I get into my sermon. We heard a sermon preached by Joel Gregory and Ralph West. They preached a beautiful sermon together on communion. And while I'm not taking their sermon idea or preaching what they preached, I am taking their title. So I thought you should know that. When words aren't enough. I think many of us can name many times when words weren't enough. I think of times when a child has fallen and is crying, and you just saying, "You're okay, it's okay," isn't enough. They need your arms wrapped around them, and they need you to wipe away their tears. When people around us are in need, saying "they're there" is not enough. We need to be present and doing something. When God wanted to show us how important we were, words weren't enough. He sent His Son. When Jesus wanted to show us how important we were, telling us wasn't enough. He gave His life. And when God wanted to show us that there would be eternal life for us, He didn't just tell us, He showed us through the resurrection of Jesus. Words weren't enough. In our relationship with Christ, I believe words aren't enough. I would like to read the first verse of our scripture today from The Message. I love the way that Eugene Peterson writes the scripture, and I wanted to read. I'm going to actually read all of it, but right now I want to read the first verse. When Jesus saw His ministry drawing huge crowds, He climbed a hillside. And those who were apprenticed to Him, the committed, climbed with Him. Arriving at a quiet place, He sat down and taught His climbing companions. Well, that's a very different version from the New Revised Standard. I love it because talking about the really committed following Jesus meant that they climbed. I must admit, I wonder sometimes where I would have been if I had lived then. Would I have had enough commitment to really follow Jesus? To walk from town to town? To risk everything? Would I have especially had the energy and the commitment to climb a hillside to hear Him speak? I mean, I think about things that go on here in Austin, and I read the paper and I think, oh, that would be so nice to go hear that or see that. And I think, oh, I'm tired. It's hot outside. I'd have to climb the stairs to get there. It's hard to put effort into something, isn't it? Now, I hear all the excuses under the sun for not going to church these days. And please know, I know for the most part I'm preaching to the choir. But when people won't give an hour or two a week to worship God, are we hoping our words are enough? Are we saying, oh yes, I believe. Yes, I have a relationship with God, but I just don't have the time. Or I just don't enjoy church. Or I don't need church. Or I'm spiritual, just not religious. That, my friends, is words. And words aren't enough. As we gather here today, Consecration Sunday, we're thinking about our church. We're thinking about our relationship with Christ and how that relationship plays out in the church. I would be so bold as to say it's about more than words. It would be easy for me to say that giving your money is what is important. And that's more than words. Our finance ministry might approve of me saying that. But it's not about how much money you give. That's not what today is about. Some people probably wish it could be that easy, that I could write a check and it would all be good. But I'm sorry, it's not that easy. The Sermon on the Mount tells us what those actions need to be in order to live the life Christ calls us to live. To live it more than just talk about it. Allow me to read each verse again. I'm going to read each verse in the New Revised Standard and then in the Message. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Eugene Patterson says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rule. When you're at the end of the rope, when you let things go and let God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. Goodness knows at time of loss, what gets us through is that feeling of God wrapping His arms around us and carrying us through our difficult times. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You're more blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. When we're content with who we are, no more, no less. Not trying to be someone else, trying to be different, but being ourselves. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. An appetite for God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourself cared for. It's about caring for others. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. What a great visual. You're blessed when you get the inside right. Then the outside world is right. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. from the beginning of time, we have felt like in order to share God in so many ways, we have to do it through violence. But God says, cooperate. Peace. Show one another how to do it peacefully and with love. Blessed are those who persecute for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. When we allow those in our world to see our true selves, yes, there will be times when you will be persecuted. But when you do, it drives you closer to God. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And the message says, not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for though you don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Blessed. Blessed are we. That's what we all really seek, isn't it? But what does it mean to be blessed? The Greek word used here is makarios, which means fortunate or happy. It's interesting that nothing about any of these verses is what the world would say brings us happiness. That's what we usually seek, isn't it? To be happy. To be blessed comes from not doing as the world would have us do. But to be as Christ would have us. To not speak about a life, but live a life, putting the love of Christ first. As Jesus spoke to the crowds over and over, it wasn't necessarily the disciples that he turned and spoke to. It wasn't the well-off or those who had all that they needed and more. It was those sitting on the hillside, many without food to eat, the outcast, those who seemingly were down on their luck. And he said, show you love me. Don't talk about it, live it. We live in a time more than any other time in history where we think happiness comes from having stuff. Watch 1 hour of television. I dare you. I dare say that you could just randomly pick a channel and sit down for 1 hour. And within that hour, you would probably find at least a dozen different ways that the world says you can be happy. Actually, if you just watch the commercials in a 1 hour program, you would have enough. Watch out for number one. We live in a world where we're shown from the very beginning that you've got to look out for yourself. No one else is going to do it. Put yourself first. I heard a story on the news this morning. I can't even really tell you what the story was about, but the opening words to the story were, "Our main goal in life is to stay alive." And I thought to myself, really? Is that really? I mean, I know it's good to do things to try to stay healthy, but is that really what I spend my whole day thinking about, staying alive? Do I care more about staying alive than caring for others or sharing Christ with others? And I really need to think about that. And I hope that my life shows that that's not my number one goal. And it saddens me to think that anyone would think that. The world tells us, get your priorities right. You've got to think about yourself. You've got to think about your job. You've got to think about your family. You've got to think about your entertainment time. And the list goes on and on and on. And I guarantee you that while often our world says to put God up there, the God they mean is not the one we worship here today. Because that would mean putting ourselves at the bottom of the list. Consecration Sunday. It's our opportunity to stop and to listen to the words spoken to us by Christ, to really think about where we place God in our lives, how we show Christ in our lives every day, and how do we plan on stretching ourselves in this coming year. Part of that is about giving back a portion of what's been given to us. Part of it is about serving in a way that we may have never served before. Or maybe it's about continuing to serve in a way that we feel passionate about. Part of it might be about recognizing that we need to be living Christ more than just through our words, but through our life. Words are not enough. Words were not enough for Christ. They're not enough for us. May we live Christ in our lives. Amen.